The date was 2016, and the place is, the pages of a children's book, written by a gentleman by the name of Carl Lafferton. Anybody know Carl Lafferton? Well, you guys don't read kids' books? Well, he wrote a book entitled The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross, and it is an absolutely wonderful book, and I want to share some of that with you this morning. Not the entire book, but some of it. It starts off like this. A very long time ago, right here in this world, there was a garden, and in the garden, everything was wonderful. There was nothing bad ever, and no one was sad ever. And the best of all, God was there. He made it all. He was in charge of it all. He loved it all. People could see God and talk to God just enjoy being with God. It was wonderful. But then one day, the people did a terrible thing. They decided they didn't want to do what God said. They decided they wanted a world without God in charge. God calls this sin. Sin spoils things. So sin has no place in God's wonderful garden. And God said to the people, "You can't live with me in my garden anymore." And he sent them outside to show the people that they had to stay outside. And God put some warrior angels in front of the garden. And the angels were like a big keep out sign. Now things were sometimes bad and people were sometimes sad. But people still kept sinning because they didn't want God to be in charge. So no one could come into God's wonderful place. And God said, "Because of your sin, you can't come in." We've been learning through the scriptures over this last year about how God had a plan for this wonderful place that we call Earth. He made a beautiful place for us to live with Him. The only problem was, God made us. We are the problem. It's me. I'm the problem. We know that we are not the first ones who brought sin into this world, but we continue to do so on a regular basis. We do it every day. But here's the good news. The Father, He had a plan from the very beginning. And I don't know about you, but I am incredibly thankful for the Father today. In Genesis chapter 2, we read, the very first words that God spoke to Adam, we read these words, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Now, there are some who say that Adam didn't know any better. And it was only when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he could have known what was right and wrong, because before then he didn't know what was right and wrong, because he didn't know and have the knowledge of good and evil. Well, the problem with that is God told him what was allowed, and therefore he knew. God told him very clearly in this passage, you could eat from anything you want, any tree, have any fruit. But this one tree, that's a no-no. And so we can't say that Adam didn't know. He did. We have what is called this amazing thing of being created in the image of God. And yet, being created in the image of God, we have been given this thing called free will. And ironically, this philosophical idea is found absolutely nowhere in Scripture. You can search the Scriptures and look for this phrase, free will, but you're just not going to find it because it isn't there. Yet the concept of it is everywhere. The concept and our own experiences tell us that free will exists. Anybody here have free will? That's it. I hope we all have free will. But God can only act freely, and we are created after His image, and He only acts freely, as there is nothing constraining Him to act in any other way but according to His will. He acts in accordance with His own will, and just in His nature, which is love. In 1 John chapter 4, we read, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so we are to love one another, just like God loves us. But the Bible was written with the understanding that humans are free agents, that we do have free will, that we have a consciousness of being free from the very beginning. And we see that in Adam and Eve in the garden. And Jesus, when He was here, He spoke with this understanding that humans are not passive pawns in the grand scheme of things. He said the following, come to Me, all who are all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in John chapter 5, we read, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me, yet you refuse to come to Me to have life. Jesus understood that we have this free will. We have this ability to think and do on our own. And in the garden, we had free access to the Father, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, about anything and about everything. And God knew that by giving us the ability to choose to disobey, we actually would eventually do that. But He still allowed us to be created this way because the Father had a plan from the very beginning. In the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place. Oh, pardon me. I need to continue on in our little book here. The book that I began with. He goes on and he writes this. God told the people to build a special building called the temple, where He would live. And in the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place in the world. The place where God was, with nothing bad and nothing sad. It was very exciting. But then God told the people to put a big curtain around this wonderful place. The curtain had pictures of the warring angels on it. And it was big. It was a huge, big keep out sign. For hundreds of years, the temple curtain reminded people that God said, it's wonderful to live with Him, but because of your sin, you cannot come in. Now, last week we touched on this very briefly as we learned that the cherubim were, we mentioned the curtain just a little bit, but the cherubim, they play a role in God's redemptive narrative. Their images were woven into the veil of the tabernacle. And when Solomon built the temple, the walls and had carvings on them, along with trees and flowering pomegranates. And inside the temple, there were two 15-foot tall cherub that stood before the holy place, symbolically depicting the Garden of Eden. And the Father gave these plans of the temple to King David. And the plans for the ark were given to Moses. And both of these men were mighty leaders of Israel, of God's people. They both were men who made mistakes, though. They needed forgiveness. And when God gave instructions for the tabernacle, it was a veil or a curtain closing off the Holy of Holies. And when Solomon built the temple, the way to the Holy of Holies was not only guarded by two cherubim, but also a curtain with cherubim embroidered on it. These curtains reminded all who saw it that since man sinned, you can't come in. The curtain that separated the people and the priests from going into the presence of God was 60 feet long. It was 30 feet high. It was about 4 inches thick. It took 300 priests to install it into the temple. It was a piece of lasting tapestry that was designed to withstand all strains, all tears, all rips, and the cherubim were the central figures upon it. But once a year, the high priest would enter in only after seeking forgiveness and offering sacrifice. He has to be cleansed before entering. And if he had not, he would die. In Leviticus chapter 16, God gave these instructions. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." You see that sin is a very serious offense to God. But we also see that the Father had a plan to make a way for mankind to be in relationship with him. God wants to be in relationship with you. He is all about relationship. Throughout the Old Testament, God pursued his people. He sent prophet after prophet to call them to relationship with him. He reminded them of his own desire to be in relationship with him. But mankind, we are really good at saying no to God. We are good at disobeying God. We are experts at fooling ourselves into thinking that we know better than God. And so, for generation upon generation, God, in his mercy, had a curtain to remind us that because we sin, we can't enter in. But our story continues. Hundreds of summers and winters passed by, and the keep out curtain stayed in the temple. Then one day, God the Son came to live in this world as a person. He was called Jesus. Jesus always did what God said. Jesus never sinned, and Jesus visited the temple where the keep out curtain hung. Jesus knew that things were sometimes bad and sometimes sad. Jesus said that God had sent him to open the way back to God's wonderful place. But people still did not want to let God be in charge. And so they decided to put Jesus on a cross to die. It was the most bad thing ever to happen. It was the most sad day of all time. But Jesus had a plan. He had always planned to die on the cross. What a strange plan. Why would God's Son plan to die? On the cross, Jesus took our sins. All the bad things we do, all the sad things they cause, Jesus took them all from us. And when he did, something amazing, astounding happened. The curtain tore. God had ripped up the keep out sign. God's wonderful place is open again. Because Jesus died, we can go in. After Jesus died, his friends put him in a tomb, and they were very sad. For 2 days, nothing happened. And then the next morning, Jesus' friends went to see his body in the tomb, and it wasn't there. A little later on, Jesus' friends were all together, and suddenly Jesus was there, alive. His friends weren't sad. Now they were so, so happy. God had brought Jesus back to life so that he could live in God's wonderful place forever. And Jesus sent everyone an invitation to come and to live with him there too. God says, it's wonderful to live with him. Jesus said, because of your sin, you can't come in. But I died on the cross to take your sin so that all my friends can now come in. Each of the four Gospels, each and every one of them share the story of Jesus on the cross. How he was innocent, and they still demanded that he be put to death on the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Jews demanded miraculous signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ has the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. See, the Father had a plan from the very beginning. He knew that we would make mistakes. We're human, after all. He knew that man's wisdom was no match for his. He knew that we would need to be saved from our sins. His wisdom and his strength and his plan are far better than anything we could ever come up with. And so Paul taught the following. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As all believers know, the cross is everything. Each of us as believers must surrender to the crucified Christ each and every day. When we acknowledge that our lives are to be lived dedicated to the cross and to Jesus, the man who died on the cross, the Son of God, we can live for him. Without Jesus, we are still living in sin, which means we cannot enter in. If you have not yet entered in by being born again, it's time for you to repent of your sins, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Because of our sin, we can't come in, but since Jesus died on the cross to take our sins, we can now come in. Praise God. So because of what Jesus did for us, the author to the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, he tells us that we can now come right into the very presence of a holy God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, pardon me, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This morning we have an opportunity and a privilege to share in the death and the resurrection of Jesus by the way of the Lord's table, which is we call communion. It is communion with him, and through the broken body that was and the shed blood of Jesus, you and I can enter in to that paradise from which humanity was expelled. We can take the tree of life and eat it abundantly. And as we move to communion, the bread represents his body and the cup represents his blood. These are tangible ways for us to act in obedience to him. Because remember, this was all part of the Father's plan from the beginning. 1 Corinthians 11 says that we're not to take communion flippantly. It says, let a person examine himself then, so not to eat the bread or drink of the cup. Take a few moments to examine yourselves, to draw near to Christ as we distribute the elements. Here at Maranatha, we practice a believer's open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of our church to participate, but you do need to be a born-again believer. So if that describes you, you're welcome to the table. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have not come to Christ as your Savior. You're unsure, but you've heard the story. And today you want to declare him your Lord and Savior. If that is your intent, then you are a believer. Declare him your Lord and Savior and partake of the table. Our servers are going to distribute the elements, first the bread, which is a symbol of his body, which was broken for you. And if you're participating, take a piece. Spend some time with the Lord in prayer. And once everyone has been served, I will pray and we will partake together as one body. And then we'll do the same with the cup, a symbol of his blood that was shed for you. I'm going to call the servers forward at this time, and as they come, I want to read you a couple more verses from 1 Corinthians. Let us focus on these words from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you because you had a plan. That your plan was that your Son would come, that he would live a sinless life. You knew what we would do. You knew that our sin would cause us to put him to death, that his body would be broken for us. Father, we ask for forgiveness today. Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is his body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do take this bread and we take this cup. We proclaim your death. We know that through the death, through the spilling of your blood, that forgiveness is possible. And we thank you for that forgiveness. We thank you for your amazing plan. A plan that really makes no sense, but a plan that you yourself put into place. And so, Father, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for your love that it represents, for your mercy and forgiveness. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.